AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. It's I and Sam for today. I'll pay my join at some point, but we'll see. I'm sure we can hold down to. Speaking about teething problems, I've been at teeth issues. there was a former Arsenal player who actually he was having like cavity, the same, pretty much the same thing we talked about. His wisdom was giving issues. Turns out it was the reason for his consistent muscle problems. He kept having like muscular injuries. Very popular player. Can you guess the player?
Give me another hint.
Just like any hint I give you would actually give up the answer.
You just said Arsenal player. I don't know whether it's past, it's present.
He's one of Arsenal's best strikers in recent
all history. Time. Dennis Bergkamp, Van Persie.
Yeah, Van Persie.
Yeah,
well, it was wild that because he kept having consistent muscle problems. And it turns out the whole time it was his I don't think he's the only person with a similar story, Sha. I feel like there's another player who had a DM who had the similar issue. I'm not sure who he was. Maybe Vieira or Gallas, I don't know. Anyway, this was a pretty interesting football weekend, especially if you're a man, you're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. I think.
Let's start with Chelsea.
That's fair. You should probably start with Chelsea before my energy runs out.
Yeah, let's start with Chelsea.
Yeah, where would you like to start with your overall thoughts on it?
What's the problem? What do you think is Chelsea's issue? Because I know, I have them pretty high up in my.
So I think, of course, this is the game I watched, you know, intently the most. I actually watched it probably twice. I watched it over and over again just to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. So to preface this has been a very terrible week for me. A terrible sporting week for me. It's been very, very disappointing and very, very glum. I even woke up at 2 a.m. in the morning, like, I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, this is nuts. I can't wrap my head around it. Reason being that throughout the season, Chelsea losses have always, all our losses this season had a valid excuse. Right? Mm-hmm. The Bayern Munich game was the only game I was like, okay, we were tactically outclassed and outplayed. And, you know, it was a close game, but then it went far away. And you just saw that there was a level above, right? There's a slight level above. And we're proven to be right because Bayern Munich are on a 12-game winning streak now. And that's the best. I think that's the best start in German football history. And this is all competition. So it's not a bad thing to lose to Bayern at this point in the season. But every other loss we've had a very good reason. You know, red cards against a bad United team, red cards against Brighton that we were dominating till the red card. They didn't have a shot on goal till their red card. And every other, there was always a solid reason as to why we didn't win a game or why we lost a game. Now, for this one, this was the old school smash and grab football that teams play when they play against like higher opponents.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be expected, right? You play Sunderland, they come to Stamford Bridge in October. I don't know what else you expect them to do other than like a back five, mid to low block, you know, cover all the spaces, defend properly in transition, attack properly, like on the go. Like they did very, very well. And there was nothing surprising in the way they played. What was surprising was the way Chelsea played, right? And the blueprints for how to even beat these types of teams was shown in the first goal. The goal was from Pedro Neto giving Garnacho having a one-on-one step over quickly, you know, shooting before Sunderland could get into their back five shape. And that's the way to beat these low block teams, other than set pieces, of course. Like you have to, when a team plays a back five, right, the space is in between the third center back and like the wing back. So your idea is to get the ball there as quickly as possible, right? And Chelsea did that on the first goal. But throughout the rest of the game, they barely did that. And Sunderland, of course, set pieces were very, very... It's a big part of the Premier League now. So we can't keep hiding behind it. Set pieces are prevalent in Arsenal's football. Set pieces are prevalent in Liverpool's downfall. Set pieces are prevalent in Chelsea's downfall too. So the dodging of the conversation about set pieces, you can't hide anymore. This is a very, 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 very good yardstick to measure how, to see how good a team is. And Chelsea, for one, have had that problem with set pieces.
Because you guys are pretty good at scoring set pieces.
Yes, we are, but we're bad in defending it. And that came back to haunt us in this game. And then the number one thing that has hurt us from the beginning of the season till now has come back to haunt us again, and it's the individual errors within that defense. Chelsea have scored the most goals, I think, in the Premier League this season, or top two, right? But they are ninth in terms of goals conceded, meaning that they are conceding a lot of goals. So the defense is leaking. And although Maresca was to blame a good part of it in this game, because I don't think we created enough, I think that his complaint at the beginning of the season to get a replacement for Levi Colwill was valid, right? And the sporting directors did not give him that. Now he's had to play and field, I wouldn't say bad players, but subpar players. Tosin and Chalobah are good replacements, solid replacements, backups. But they cannot be your starting centre-back pairing if you want to win a league. They cannot be your starting centre-back pairing if you want to win the Champions League. Those guys are players that come in and do a job and then supplement the squad in your Carabao Cups, in your Europa Conference Leagues, in your maybe Europa Leagues. But those are not players that you want leading the line if you are trying to keep up with the Premier League, the leading pack of the Premier League currently. And we saw that yesterday. The second goal, and I know that's probably the bane of Chelsea fans' existence right now. The second goal that we conceded was mind-blowing. It was annoying. It was atrocious. It is not done in top-level football. It was terrible. It was very, 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 very bad. I don't know if you saw the goal. I don't know if you saw
it. It was late. I feel like the entire... I was too shocked to remember the goal, but I did see the goal.
As long as you saw it, that's my own. That goal was criminal. That goal, after the goal, they had to open up an investigation on all the people involved in that goal, right? I don't understand. First of all, the ball gets played in behind, right? The guy is in his half, in his own half, so he couldn't be offside, Brian Broby. He couldn't be offside. So one defender is supposed to be on their toes, like, guy, this guy can be running. He's not offside. There's no high line we're doing here, right? But nobody is. The guy gets to the ball before Tosin, who is deceptively slow, right? Now, Tosin does, as bad as he was, right, mm-hmm. He got to the guy and he covered him. And the guy keeps him at arm's length, which is fine, right? You're in the box. Don't dive in. Don't do anything stupid, right? Chaloba is the help defender, right? And all over social media, I've seen people say, if you play top-level football, you know that Chaloba is not supposed to bite there. He can roll Tosin. If he can roll Tosin, then Tosin is not good enough. Tosin has covered him. You are the help defender. You are supposed to make sure that this guy does not have a good option, an easy option to do anything.
I agree with you.
You're supposed to force him into taking the initiative, right? But you don't do that. You don't go and attack him. You don't chase the person that he's passing to. You just leave him there and he gets a free pass to, I forgot the name of Taibi that comes.
I think it's Talbi or Talibi.
Talibi, yeah, or something. He just squares it to him and then the guy just places it in. That is criminal level defending that is unacceptable at the highest form of football. And I don't know what else to say. I was arguing with Danny a bit in the group chat when Danny said Achampong is our best defender.
Right? I was going to say, why did you take him off?
Till today, we don't know. Because at first, I thought it was injury. On the first
half, in my opinion.
I thought it was an injury or so. But I think, thinking about it now, I think the logic was sound, right? They are a set-piece team. Bring your tallest player in the team. Protect in case of like corners, last-minute corners and whatnot. The problem with that is he didn't anticipate that the goal could come in transition and not as a set piece. Which makes sense, right? Because that's the only way Sunderland scored or were even threatening set pieces. So the logic was sound, but Tosin's deficiencies in one-on-one defending, which had happened throughout the whole season so far, were too big and it was on show again. So now, like I was saying, like when Danny said that Achampong was our best defender, and I argued against that because I was like, on talent-wise, Colwell, of course, is our best defender. He's out for the season.
Maybe he means like people playing.
Currently, yeah. I think I got that when he said that. Now I think about it, I'm like, that was probably a stupid comment that I made. Achampong is our best defender. He makes the mistakes every game, but on talent alone, He's better than Chaloba.
He's strong. Like you see, I saw him hold up these guys.
He's strong. He's quick. He anticipates. The only thing he doesn't do well enough yet is he doesn't know how to hold the line properly. You know, like there's a way like you hold the line as a center back to let people be offside, or it's a good space between you and your goalkeeper. And people, when you play repetitively, you get used to that. So I think that will come in.
I also like him as well, good on the ball. Like I see him like when he like carry on like drive or like muscle.
Exactly. And to see that, like to see Chelsea dropping points, 3 losses in 9-10 games, how many games are in, is criminal, is unheard of. It's not unheard of. It's criminal, it's abysmal.
It's surprising.
It's surprising, and there's nowhere to hang my head for this one. There's nowhere to hang my head.
He said something interesting. He said to a bad Manchester United, I'll admit that I've said that before, but is it time we actually, maybe, do we need to review our opinion of Manchester United? Because
I feel like this was why I wanted, so I don't steal the shine for Manchester United fans, right? Because it seems like this was their weekend to, you know, be excited and all that. I'm not convinced. And even the Manchester United fans that I knew, I was like, okay, since you think you're doing well, you want to take a bet that you are finishing ahead of Chelsea or not? Mm-hmm. And they didn't want. They won't. The reason why, Manu are on a good, to be fair to them, they're on a good run of form. They are doing basic things better than before. I do wonder how, it's the age old question for Manu. What do you do when the team decides to respect you? Right? All the teams that they have played, that they've won, don't respect them. With good reason, they've been terrible for how many months? Like when you play Liverpool are not going to play Man U respect and sit back. Right? Especially not at home. When you play Brighton had been winning, they were going for 4 straight wins at Old Trafford, I think. Or is it 4 straight wins against Man United as an encounter? So they didn't sit back either, right? And that's great for Amorim's system because they can go long, they can play direct, they can, you know, they can attack the spaces that are left by high pressing teams and ball playing teams, which Liverpool, Brighton are, Chelsea are. What happens when the teams actually now start paying attention to you? Right?
That's good.
What happens when, hey, man, you are a good team. Let's play you now. Let's, okay, give you, let's give Mbeumo the respect. Alcunha the respect. And Sesko the respect. And, but again, I don't want to sound like a bad Belair, even though I hate Manchester United personally.
I do have a point, though.
Yeah.
In terms of respect them, I actually feel like Sunderland are a bit braver versus you guys. But maybe they learned their lesson from just from the game versus Man U. Because I guess Man U, I feel like they were a bit like...
They were. I think that was the analysis we made, that they were a bit scared.
Yeah, they seemed a bit scared. But at least they were like countering with much more like... They are braver when doing transition situations versus Chelsea.
True.
Yeah. So.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I mean,
yeah, I will say one thing. This guy is actually, I guess it's taking him leaving Arsenal for me to be clear on him. Xhaka is an accomplished player.
He's
a very, 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 very good midfielder. I was watching him. I was like, man, like, you could, if you zoomed in on him, and I don't know anybody that watched the match and be zooming in on Xhaka, but if you zoomed in on Xhaka,
he stood out.
He was an accomplished passer on the ball. I was like, oh, this guy can still, like, this guy is a baller, man. I don't know why it didn't work that well at Arsenal. It did, and of course it did, but not as successful as he was at Leverkusen. But this is an accomplished baller. But yeah, a couple of things now. Let me to wrap up Chelsea, because I can go on Chelsea for a while, right?
I bet you.
I really can. But I feel as though we have two things. Fatigue played a part into that, right? Fatigue from the beginning of season, and it's going to be a reoccurring feature in Chelsea's season. While Caicedo couldn't track back as fast as he wanted to, him, Enzo, and João Pedro are carrying Knox, and we are just going to have to play them throughout because of our exertions in the Club World Cup and not enough time for adequate rest.
I was going to say that. I'm glad you mentioned that the Caicedo, he seemed a bit more tired than before.
He was
tired. What's the point of the depth, though, if you can't rest someone like Caicedo?
Because the depth is injured. Dario Sugo is his replacement, and he's in the hospital. Andre Santos was supposed to be another replacement, but he too just came back from injury. The depth is injured. That's why he's not able to rest. And he still had to play a bit in the Ajax game too. A game that ideally he wouldn't have played at all. But he still had to rest. So it's going to be a reoccurring theme for Chelsea this whole season, where players are playing through the pain barrier and playing through the injury barrier because there's just too much injury. There's just too much. That's one. And two, this one is more tactical. Chelsea still have a back five problem, right? Everything Maresca has been solving for tactically is how to break down back fives and low blocks. And unfortunately, we still have that problem where we are not consistently creating chances against low block teams. So that's where I'll leave that at, unless you have any other questions.
Anyway, but that's fair. That's very, very in depth. You pretty much covered my question, but I was going to actually ask the Caicedo question.
Yeah.
I didn't think he had his best game.
No, he did not.
I feel like if he did, I might not have seen Xhaka as much as I did.
Yeah.
Also, does the youthfulness of Chelsea come into play at all? Maybe that's probably part of the reason why they seem a bit inconsistent, especially like in controlling games like this. Seems a bit naive, because they don't control games the way you, to the level you probably want them to.
Well, I don't know if you would say control as the word, because we had like 70% possession throughout the whole game. But I think you mean in terms of like, you know, mitigating the chances that the other team is creating, right? Is that what you
mean? Yeah, mitigating the chances, and also, okay, like getting exposed. Because if you're having possession, if you keep getting exposed in transition,
yes,
I would say you might think you have control, but you don't. Do you really have control? Like the first half today for Arsenal, I don't think we had control of the game for the most part, despite the fact we had possession.
I think that comes with. I agree with you. The youthfulness does play a part in that, but I would say it's more of like, I think for Chelsea, right, it's just more of the lack of personnel, right? I don't think at any point this season Maresca will be able to play his favorite 11. It's just unfortunate. The last game that we had near our whole 11 was the PSG game, and that's where it stopped. Like, that is actually where it stopped. So the youthfulness comes in when you have to play Josh Achampong and he's covering. The funny thing about Chelsea is the youth is actually useful. The youth is the older guys that don't have sense. The youth is actually useful. It's so funny. Like, that's why Chelsea fans that have been watching this new recruitment strategy are like, honestly, like, the youth guys are actually trying. It's the older guys that don't have sense. Like, Tosin is doing Uncle Tos. But guy, you are making mistakes that children should not be making. Chaloba is an elder statesman that has been at the club since Tuchel days. Fofana has been there since Tuchel days as well. His own is more availability. But you are not there. The kids are actually the ones that are stepping up to the plate, like the Estevals of the world, even Garnacho. I can't even believe I'm saying this.
I feel like I didn't give enough props in the last episode.
Yeah, he did. He put in a shift, right? It's an experienced winger like Neto that's supposed to give him a true ball, and he's playing the ball behind him for a counter-attack. Like, he was through on goal. He passes the ball behind him. Like, that's the experience. They're making mistake for the child. The Chalobas of the world, who are supposed to be the experienced ones in this team, are the ones that are messing up. Like, Sanchez is 27. I mean, he has been playing well for a while. Let me not to bring him in. But, like, he was one of the people making mistakes. It's the actual older guys that have been messing up. The kids are, funny enough, they're all right. So, I hear what you're saying. And I think we do give away enough chances. Yeah, you're right. The controlling thing is a lot of false possession. Like, 80, 90% possession. But if the counter-attack happens, you are already naked. Like, that means you're lying to yourself about this control that you have. So I agree with you. But I would say it's more of the older guys that are messing up than the young ones.
Okay. Anyway, Liverpool versus Brentford. I don't know like whether we should keep piling on Liverpool, to be honest, because yeah, we've said he should probably start his best players, start Ekitike, this and that. He started Ekitike, nothing. We said he should probably rest, not start Words because of what Words was not playing to the level. He's benched Words and still nothing to show for it. So I mean, maybe I'm the only person who's nice to Slots. Maybe he's actually trying because he's made a lot of changes. With the Salah part. I don't blame him for not starting Salah, because I don't think anybody in Premier League right now, maybe Haaland, has enough like this thing, credit in the bank. Yeah, so but maybe at this point, even though I doubt he can drop him right now because he scored. I don't think he'll drop him if he scores. But Liverpool's problems are probably way deeper than meets the eye. I mean, can we really blame them, to be honest?
I feel like with Liverpool, right? I think, I don't know if we talked about it. Did we talk about that? I don't know. Maybe I missed the last part. But I felt like the solution to Liverpool's problem was to go back to base and then solve from there. That's what I thought their issue was. I feel like I don't know if I said this in last pod, so I hope I'm not repeating myself. So Liverpool don't want, Liverpool fans will never accept it, but they really lost a generational player in Trent.
In Trent.
They really did. And not just in like set piece situations, like in actual ball progression. I was watching El Clasico, and I'm more on that later. And Steve McManaman was like, man, looking at Barca's high line, if Trent is in this game,
damn, bro.
Like, there will be some emails coming in, bro. Like, obviously, he didn't say emails, but I don't think Liverpool have accounted enough for that. They haven't.
I've spent that much money because they bought a lot of creative talent.
I would say for me, right, I think that for them, I just think they need to solve, like, and Kirk has scored, right? He scored today.
It was awful. Calm down.
But he wasn't good. I feel like you have to play your whole old squad and then add the new ones based on the places you cannot replace. For instance, right? If you look at the metric of Trent Alexander-Arnold's ball progression for Liverpool, do you know who is the most similar to him in ball progression in that team? Andy Robertson. It's so weird. It's so weird, but Andy Robertson is just as integral on the other side, right? But Robertson doesn't have the Trent pass.
Passing range. Yes.
Yeah, so you don't see that. No, but he has...
He has the passing range. He's been the vision.
No, he does. He has the same passing range. Not the same, but like you get what I mean.
Maybe he likes the vision.
Yeah. So he does a lot of ball progression happens on Anders Robertson's left side as well. I think that Liverpool just felt, I'm just buying a younger, faster, more athletic player. And that should be it. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think that what he needs to do is go back to the squad that won him the league and then solve backwards from there.
But Robertson had been struggling for form, even for...
He was struggling for form, but that's why you balance the two out. In the beginning of the game, when Robertson Robertson's mistakes usually came... A lot of it came... some came in the first half, but a lot of it came towards the end of the game when he was, like, tiring. And that comes with age. Yeah. I feel as though when the game is settled, he should start. Then Kirkes comes in later on and then slowly shifts Robertson out of the team completely.
That's not a bad idea.
That's what I think should happen. Then all the other parts, you have to solve for it. Like, okay, there's no Trent. You're going to have to play Conor Bradley. Like, the game's the game. This is what we're going to have to do. If you saw Salah's goal, you know that Salah still has it now. Like
he still has it. I think Salah's issue is more mental than physical.
Yeah, he still has it. That goal was the impetus of that goal is like, this guy is still, he has lost, you know, he still has it. Like there's still a productive player here. Ekitike should be starting. I watched that and I saw him like, he was buzzing around. I think Ekitike should start.
I mean, he was bullied more than previous
games. But he was integral to the first goal now. Let's do a thing, right? Let's help Slot out because he's an idiot, personally. let's help him out. What do you think Liverpool's starting lineup should be?
For sure. I don't think you can bench Gakpo. This is the most quiet game I've seen Gakpo have in a while, even from games they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
He should start for sure. Gabo should start. Ekitike as a striker. I still say keep Salah. I agree with you on that for sure. Salah should play. Of course, Gravenberch is a shoe-in. They don't have anybody else. The interesting player that I think was very, very integral to like how they were able to like control games a lot last season was McAllister. But I'll admit that he's not been good. He's been probably one of their worst players this season. And I think he's going under the radar. McAllister. Should probably be better. I'll actually put words there now mm-hmm. at this point because I think we've seen enough evidence to suggest that like words might actually not be their problem.
Yeah,
he still actually leads the starts and most created chances. So these futures they create are actually because of him as well. He's part mm-hmm. of the reason. I would say play Gravenberch, Szoboszlai, and words.
Okay,
but the truth is that any lineup I'm coming up with, they have actually tried. But if you persist with that, I agree with you, Indy. That was a very, very good point. Well, I understood why you are benching Robertson, but this guy is a veteran. Start him in games and bring in Crickets. Crickets has already shown that he's very, very nervous. I think it's probably the big club problem. So he probably needs to be. He was thrown into the fire. Being thrown into the fire and to the with the Premier League champions is not really the worst thing in the world.
It's not, but if they have a certain style of play that you are not adapting to, after a while it starts to show that you're a bit off.
Yeah. So like, Robertson, left back. Van Dijk is not helping. Is not helping Kekets. The consistent, like, running off his mouth whenever this guy makes a mistake is definitely not helping at all. Because like, every time that Kekets makes a mistake or passes back, you see this guy literally. It's as if we can't hear him, but bro, I feel like he's abusing him.
Yeah, he does that, and I don't know why he's. I don't know what kind of leadership style he's doing. He's almost like. He's almost like a Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, Bruno Fernandes does the same thing.
So funny. Like, Bruno Fernandes' own is, well, they say Bruno Fernandes. His own is more obvious, right?
He is more obvious. He'll keep talking for the like, next 10 minutes.
But Van Dijk does it too. He gave away the penalty and he was shouting, "Guy, now you. It was you."
Yeah, that was a very weird this thing. He was at fault.
You were the one at fault. Like, who are you looking at here? Like, it's you. It's you. I don't know. It's a lot of things, right?
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
It's a lot of things.
Apparently, you called the team meeting. I'm like, guy, you're the one calling team meeting and how you should be better. But have you actually looked at yourself? You've not been at your best. Not just this game, you've been before.
And I think that's why Robertson should be in that team a bit. Just because Robertson stays closer to Van Dijk. Well, it depends. Robertson does stay close. He needs help, right? He needs help. And I don't know how much. I don't think that Kirkes. That's just the nature of the game. The fullbacks need to go up. If not, you are losing too many bodies. You know, you can't just be sitting back. I understand that. But he does need help. And I think somebody that is on the same wavelength as him, that's played with him over the years, would be a better fit in the short term. Don't get me wrong, Robertson needed to be shifted. This is not me saying he needs to be reintegrated back into like...
But to give Kirkes time.
Yeah, but to give Kirkes time, Robertson needs to play a bit more. 60, 75 minutes, get him off. Kirkes comes with energy, comes with pressure, comes with verve. It will help. I think it will help them. But in terms of their football, the pattern of play they play, Robertson is an accomplished ball playing fullback, and was giving similar progressive metrics as Trent Alexander-Arnold, which is so funny. It was such a weird thing to me when I saw. I was like,
there was a point where they were the two best
football players. But that was at Liverpool's pump, right? Like, yeah. But funny, we're saying pump. They won the league last season, but like that under Klopp, they were both going ban for ban. So I just forgot that. That guy was just as integral as that. So when you're losing on both sides, it's too much to adjust for. If you're losing it on one side and maybe gaining it with Vert, okay, I say he's balancing it out. But you're losing on both sides and then the Vert is not now giving you. So it's like one thing that's making another thing to another thing to another thing to a lot of things like fall. That's why I think Liverpool's problem. And their manager needs to Dutch managers are very direct.
Yeah,
they are very direct and they don't know how to talk. It just comes to their head. They say it. Ruud Gullit, Ronald Koeman, Slot, Van Gaal.
Even Van Basten. I was going to mention the thing when I was mentioning, what's his name? Van Dijk himself. Like, I remember when Van Basten kind of called him out because of the national team and his inability to actually properly lead the back line. There's this belief in Netherlands that like Van Dijk actually doesn't do a good job in like leading the defense. So what if that's probably what part of the issues right now? Like you started with like Andy Robertson, maybe when he's not there, maybe Van Dijk is, despite being the captain, might struggle to keep his emotions in check.
Yeah, well, somebody needs to talk to him. Like if you're the leader of the team, it starts with you. It doesn't start with other people. It starts with you. And this is constant berating and complaining and like, guy, you are making mistakes.
You're making it worse.
You're making direct mistakes.
Football is very mental.
Yeah. Also, I think it starts from the manager though. I don't like the way the manager speaks.
Yeah, he talks.
How do you come and say that four of the five games it's because they were doing long balls? One, right? You play, first things first, right? That's not even true. That's a lie. Because Chelsea's goals were literally all 11 players. The second goal, all 11 players were touching the ball on the ground. So that's not even true. And two, even if it is, right? Man, you are playing you at Anfield that they've not won in 10 years, right? They have a tactic for success. Have the tallest, one of the tallest strikers in the league, right? They didn't even start him. So that's not even, like, I don't even know what he's talking about. And even if they are doing that, who cares? Like, should the teams... Sorry that the team did not send you their plan on how they wanted to play. They should have emailed you that, oh, guys, today we are doing long ball. Just account for that. We are going to do long ball. Like, what are you talking about? This is football. It's like me complaining that, oh, as a Chelsea fan, why did Sunderland? Sunderland, I don't think they've been playing in the back five, but they did for this game, right? So I'm like, oh, why would Sunderland, can you imagine they did a back five? Who fucking cares? Who bloody cares? They came here for 3 points. They won the 3 points. That's how the game has always been. How you use that as an excuse? Are you smoking?
He was complaining about Brentford changing their team.
God forbid that the Premier League champions are coming into town and I adjust my tactics for the best team in the country, quote unquote. God forbid. Like, why is that an excuse? What's the name of that guy? Ten Hag. That's some Ten Hag rubbish right there.
And they made fun of Ten Hag for that a lot. So it's
yeah, funny. Like
maybe he didn't look. Did he see what was happening at that time?
Well,
like
no pity for him.
No excuse. But
he spent the most in the league this season. No pity for him. I understand. The only way, okay, there is small pity with the Jota loss. Yeah, I don't think we'll ever know how much of an impact that would have on a team. And that's the only leeway I'm giving them.
Yeah. I think no matter what happens this season, I don't think there's going to be that much like this on Liverpool, regardless of where they finish, if I'm being honest.
Which is terrible. Why shouldn't it be? They're not Premier League champions.
I understand. But I think no matter what happens, Slot probably keep his job. And they'll be like, they messed up.
No, I don't think his job is in danger.
They'll let this one go for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's in danger.
But it's annoying to me considering how much they actually spent.
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact that the narrative is like, okay, yeah, you win, don't rest on your laurels, and people giving them the title of best transfer window ever.
Yeah.
And probably buying the best, quote unquote, best strike of the league last season. So it's quite interesting. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, the whole slot thing, I agree with you. He does that. He talks too much, and he always follows up whatever he says with no excuses. But he gives like three or four excuses.
These are things Arteta was killed for that year.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But anyway, enough about Liverpool. Hopefully, they keep entertaining us, and we keep having to pile on them. But, Man City, I wish Obey was here because Obey kept talking about how important like Man City's loss would have been far more than Liverpool's own. Because he views Man City much. Man City probably scares Obey more than anybody else.
I agree with him though. I agree with that line of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think though. I think that Man City were the hidden, if they go on a run. They are the ones that will probably challenge, and of course, there's still time for them to challenge.
There's a lot of time.
There's a lot of time. I think you have to, because I watched a bit of this game, and the supporting cast is not they're not clicking yet, right? And I think everybody is so scared of Pep and the terrorism he has done in the leagues that we're waiting for him to find that click, that formation, that new innovative formation that will go on a 13-game winning streak, right? And I just think he hasn't found it.
They were on a not losing streak actually before today. So,
but it wasn't a sustainable. It wasn't convincing, right? Yeah, because everybody was saying it's Haaland carrying them, and Haaland did score today too. Oh, I'm sorry, the game too, but it was offside. Yeah, in the game against Villa, he scored, but it was up. I think Marmoush was offside before squaring it to him.
I heard he went on a ghost search though.
Huh?
I heard Haaland went on a ghost search today.
Yeah. I didn't get that. But yeah, I think that supporting cast are not doing enough, man. Foden is not doing enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how he gets back into the England team, man. It's looking scary for him.
Foden be playing as if you see like 21. You have one nice game, two.
He's not doing enough. They are not doing enough. I refuse to believe that this Rodri excuse is the only thing, but it's looking like if Rodri is not there, there's no impetus on the midfield. The supporting cast is just not doing enough at all.
I haven't watched them in a minute though. Reinders.
Since episode one, season one, I need to sell that guy for my FPL, man. I've been waiting for that guy, man.
Reinders pulled a Ned Stark on us.
Guy, real Ned Stark things, man. Like season one, episode one, cut his head.
I've
been waiting for this guy. I've had him in my FPL, and I'm going to sell him this week. Yeah, I've been waiting for him to. Today was, I think, this game was the last game. I was like, okay, let me just hold on.
He's been invisible. Nobody's talking about him. I guess apparently if you do one, whether you do 007 or not, doesn't matter anymore. As long as you have done.
As long as you don't want. I mean, yeah, that's the premise of 007. Do one and escape. I think everybody's just waiting. I think Okpa is right in thinking that. Because if Pep figures something out, right, then they can go on a run. But I don't know. I don't see him. I don't know how he's going to do it. I'm actually curious. I'm actually curious.
I still think they finish. Where did I even have them? Okay, I had them fourth. At this point,
I had them fourth too. I had Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City. I'll have to do that one. Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City. But I think, of course, Man City are going to be third or second for sure.
No, they'll be there.
Pep needs to cook something up, and he needs to cook something up fast.
Is it Liverpool I'm not worried about in my predictions?
No, but I think Liverpool, when you go on this negative run, you will bounce back, but it will not be enough to win the league
again. They are too talented for them not
to. No, I don't think Liverpool are winning the league again.
No, they're not. I don't think they're winning the league. I genuinely don't think they are.
No, they're not winning the league.
But I feel like they will still be top four.
Maybe. They can be top four.
Yeah.
They can be top four.
I mean, right now, they are like fifth, I mean, sixth. Man U is above them. Man U is above many people these days.
Yeah, Man U are above many people, but I'm not looking at them for now.
Well, anyway, I think this season right now is going to be between Haaland versus Arsenal set piece. Because they are the...
Since we're already talking about Arsenal, right? I think that you guys, unfortunately, right? I don't see you how you don't win the league from here. Not that I'm trying to pile on pressure, right? Or anything. Now you must win the league. You must win the league. Like, you know. But I think at this point it's yours to lose now. There is a problem though, right? That will show its head in probably bigger tournaments like the Champions League. I don't think you are going to escape that. But I think there's not enough open play chance creation, right? And these set pieces have masked that very, very well. Now, I am not downplaying the importance of set pieces. We clearly see that if you don't have set piece in your life right now, you're not going anywhere. And I watched half of the Arsenal match before I switched to El Clasico. I was watching it, and I was like, man, Crystal Palace is very, very good off the ball. Very, very good. Very, very, they will frustrate you off the ball. I saw it game week one when we played them. They are very, very disciplined in that off the ball running. And they were in dangerous spots against Arsenal too. I think that I worry though whether or not maybe so looking at the Atletico game, right? When I looked at the Atletico game, after a while, like when Atletico got ragged, then Arsenal were now free flowing. I wonder if set pieces are a way to unlock the open play chance creation for you guys. I wonder if that's what it is right now.
I think it helps with
but it doesn't look like you guys are flowing.
Yeah, when teams start to show more attacking impetus, I see us create more chances. Like in second half against Crystal Palace, we created a lot more chances. Like
Yeah.
Should have scored several times. Because they needed to score.
Who should have scored?
I think Rice.
Yeah, but that came from a set piece. That came from a set piece too.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. But we stood more attacking impetus too. Like we stayed like running, Trossard dribbling, trying to create openings. This guy is running. It looked like
do you think, I guess now let me put it on you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's an Arsenal question, of course. Do you think that the theory of, like, do you think that you guys have an open play chance creation problem? You have very little problems. In fact, you have, like, the least problems in the league out of any team currently. Do you think that that's an issue? And how far an issue do you think it is?
I don't think it's that much of an issue because I believe that if we manage to score first, we'll create more chances. When teams sit in low blocks, I don't think someone like Eze is as good as... You know one thing I don't think Odegaard gets credit for is those little nifty plays he always creates close to opposition box when they are sat deep. He might not be the best in terms of like, counter, spotting someone and those releasing one very long ball. But he's very, very clever when teams sit really deep.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are missing him a lot in that on that end because Eze doesn't seem... He will try to dribble sometimes, but it rarely leads to much in the games I've seen when teams sit deep. So we've had to rely on set pieces a lot recently, more than even earlier in the season, recently. But I don't think it's an issue if we score the set pieces right now. With Champions League, the reason why I'm more confident in Champions League is that has nothing to do with our attack. It's actually our defense. Because if we can score one...
mm-hmm.
Whether from a set piece or from any chaos we create in the box, I think we're good. I think that defense will actually should help us a lot more in the Champions League against very, very tough teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree that we are not really free-flowing right now, especially in attack right now. This few glimpses I saw when Odegaard played give me a lot of hope on that end when he comes back. But I think Eze can also hold the fort down to an extent, but not to the same level in that central area.
Okay.
Right now. But yeah, I don't think we are that great against low blocks when it comes to creating chances. It's not true set piece. But when we score, I think we will create chances when things come out.
I think that's the bane of existence for any low block team is when they get. When they score on you, and now you have to now come out from the low block that you were doing. I don't know though. I feel like defense wins titles, right? And I think it should be enough for Arsenal to win the league. But it's going to your lack of proper chance creation from open play, I think it's going to stifle you somewhere. Usually it's going to be the Champions League. But the problem with the Champions League, the opposite of that is that Champions League teams are not built to defend set pieces. That's just the funny thing about it. Like Champions League, if you don't play ball, you are not going to win. But the problem is those teams are not good in. They're not built for a team that is coming at them with set pieces, corners, throwing, free kicks. Mm-hmm. Like they are not like they don't. They're not just used to that like that, and that's true with Atletico. Like. How many teams are they going to play in La Liga that are going to be
there? They are the ones doing that.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's very, very weird when somebody's doing it to you, right? But the really, really high quality, high level sides, right, will defend, will know how to, like how PSG nullified Arsenal's set pieces, even though Arsenal still has some chances, right? Making Donnarumma
a good number, but PSG, yeah? I think we created a good number, but PSG's quality is what makes the difference.
Actually. That's one, and two, they started telling Donnarumma to come and be claiming these crosses. Don't stay on the line. Come out and like affect this thing.
Donnarumma is a cheat code.
Yeah, that he did a very good job with that. So I think the quality sides will find a way to mitigate that set piece problem. Like, okay, you score one set piece, but we go score you like two. You know, that type of thing. I just think that I don't know how Arsenal is going to do it, and it's not a problem now. But that open play chance creation is very, very like, I'm like,
yeah, for me personally, I think if you have Odegaard in that 10 and maybe shift Eze.
But then when you have Odegaard, isn't that another issue where you become unathletic a bit in that midfield?
Really, I don't think this guy Eze doesn't even run as much as Odegaard. For example, doesn't press as much.
No, Odegaard presses very well. Yeah.
So even last season he was very, very good at that. I don't think he affects us in any. The person that actually affects us physically in the middle of the park when he plays is actually Waniri. But that's something I think he can grow into because he's still very young.
Yeah, and he's not a starter, so
if he comes back, I think we're going to create more chances because for the past couple of years he's been our highest like by far. Like he's crazy.
Well, and then half of the fan base wanted him gone, or half of the fan base wanted him gone towards the end of last season.
Arsenal fans, whenever we are struggling, we need the scapegoats. If he's not the guy's Napoli, what's his name again? Martinelli. Before it was 2 seasons ago, it was Saka and was limping. So I think who's fine.
Martinelli is doing a good job in the Champions League. I think
he's doing a very good job this season as a finisher, whether he's coming in to run. First of all, he's very, very fast. He's very, very fast. So when we score that one, exactly, it's also a weapon like where we score one and the defense starts coming out, his runs are always very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
The person I'm actually worried about small, Gyökeres, to be honest.
I think that has to be a different conversation in itself. But I think it's the nature of, I think it's tied to the open play chance creation thing that's not happening currently.
That's true.
Because if you think about it, right, how many clear cuts, I don't think he's doing enough on his own too, right? But how many clear cuts chances has he been getting to say like, okay, this is not a Darwin Nunez situation for sure. That's why I'm like, but maybe it will come with time. Maybe it will come with adaptation, maybe we'll see, but his numbers have been looking, his performances have been looking orange and red statistically, like for a long time. But I guess it's not a problem now. The league is yours. Early congratulations for now. Because
I don't know about that. Let's
I don't know. The chasing pack is very dire.
Don't you see Bournemouth?
You know.
Well,
Krupi Abi.
Man U has something to say about that. So they are winning the league on Twitter.
Man U, from Amorim that was about to be sacked last week to Man U have something to say.
The reactionary level, I mean, actually, is fair. He's won 3 games on the bounce. I don't know when last they actually did that.
No. It's good. They're having a good one.
The 4-2 win versus Brighton.
That game, to speak on that game, right? Not that I really didn't want to talk. I really thought somebody else would, a Man U fan would come and bear their heart on it. That game was a very terribly officiated game. That was a very, very poorly on both sides, right? I think that Ahmad had a penalty early on.
Okay.
That was a stonewall penalty. I don't see how that was not given.
That's the same ref. That's the same ref versus
the one that always gives Arsenal bonanza when we are playing Chelsea.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, yes, yes. Atli Taylor is Chelsea's. First of all, Atli Taylor is Chelsea fans' worst referee. We hate that guy with a passion. But this game was so badly officiated that he was, because he would make a mistake, he would now be balancing it in other places that don't need balancing. Like, he wouldn't call fouls. Then even the Mbeumo's goal, the third goal or so, Luke Shaw clearly drags somebody, like Jorginho Ruta. He fouls him. Even Man U fans are like, are you not going to give the foul? He doesn't give the foul. They play the ball. Mbeumo scores. I'm like, guy, this is bad. That Dorgu chance that Minte runs, there are two things there. If you don't give a foul, you either give a foul or you don't. And if you do give a foul, it is a red card. There's no in between there. Like, oh, covering defender.
The argument was that, is it the one?
No.
Because he didn't have control of the ball or whatnot.
That has nothing to do with anything. Minte is very, very fast. He could have gotten there. You don't know that. And if he didn't have control of the ball, why are you giving a foul? Why are you giving a foul? Like if you are the last man, okay, if the ball, right, if you are the last man and I touch you, whatever I do to bring you down, right, and you don't really have control of the ball, do you think it's going to be a yellow card? It's going to be a red card because you are the last man. The last man thing negates any form of, like...
That's Dogzo. Is it Dogzo?
Oh, yeah, Dogo, yeah. Like, if you don't give a foul, fine. You didn't give a foul. It's not a foul. Right, cool. But once you give the foul, it's a red card. And I don't know why he did that. How? It was not even bad again, because the place that the foul was committed and the place where Welbeck took the free kick, there was a clearing distance between it. Like, guy, you made something that was indirect to a direct free kick for Welbeck. And I'm like, guy, why are you blowing rubbish? Like, he
was letting a lot of things go in that game.
He was letting a lot of things go, and it was just bad officiating on both sides. I think if I carry it on, it will sound like I'm saying the referee helps United, but like, I do think he messed up on both sides. So, and it will negate me.
I noticed that even Liverpool game, he was trying not to like keep calling fouls. Maybe that was something that they are trying to do, because I noticed a similar type of officiating versus Liverpool.
He
changed him into the first half.
He was terrible. Like, Anthony Taylor is by far my, like, I remember the games against Arsenal. I remember the Alexis Sanchez handball that he used to control ball and score. He didn't give it. He didn't cancel the goal.
Before VAR.
Yeah? That's before VAR. I remember the one that this guy steps on Kovacic. He gives Kovacic a second yellow. Arsenal win the FA Cup.
Fans don't like him either. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I don't know why you don't like him. That guy's giving you two trophies. I don't know why you don't like him. That is your guy. that is your guy. I don't know why you guys don't. That should be you guys. Like, he's even like so many games. Chelsea fans have a cut. I mean, I can go into in depth details about it.
Refs don't like. I don't think we like any refs. I know Arsenal fans don't like refs.
Arsenal fans don't like Michael Oliver. Right?
They don't like many refs. Even the one that
Chelsea fans don't like Anthony Taylor.
What's his name? The guy who gave this guy a red card. Declan Rice. I don't remember his name, but he's been very awful towards us.
It's not Michael Oliver.
Is it Michael Oliver?
Yeah, it was him. No? Was it Michael Oliver? No, or was it... No, maybe. Oliver was against Man City. He gave Trossard the red card.
Yes, there's another different guy the same guy with the Newcastle game was the same guy with the Declan Rice red card. I can't remember his name right now.
Is it Chris Kavanagh?
Thank you.
Chris Kavanagh, yeah.
Rubbish guy. Oh, yeah, Anthony Taylor is better than him.
But yeah, I think it was good. It was good showing by United in that game. Good for them. I think they deserve the win in that on the whole. They deserve the win that much.
It's one of their best performances to me. But what you said earlier about when teams actually stop respecting them, because Brighton did not help themselves in any way.
Oh,
they hit from the back. They could not even pass it correctly. They kept misplacing passes constantly.
Yeah, it's always easy when the radar is... It's very easy to fly under the radar. What happens when, you know... And I guess that will be the next stage of Amorim's development with the club, right?
Yeah.
How their build-up, their possession, different phases of the game. I think that will be the next stage for them. But they needed something. Any win. Any kind of move from anywhere. And so now...
I would add, though... To kind of make up for their because their midfield, especially in the second half, when this guy went off, Aleba went off, and this guy
came on. You mean this dude here?
Yeah, there's this other guy who came on. Is it Aaron or something? Anyway, that guy was playing pretty well because they stepped passing through United midfield. I don't know why they didn't just try to, you know, bully, try to, like, put their stamp on that midfield a little bit more in the first half. But maybe they were lacking confidence because their passing was terrible. But it improved the second half. But that could also be because Man United getting tired. Because I think to make up for their lack of midfield dominance, they are defending as a team and attacking as a team.
Mm-hmm.
But that probably exhausted United a lot. So maybe that's why it looked like when Baleba came off, Brighton became better.
But they have been taking Baleba off, though. It's not the first time.
Okay, yeah, so maybe Baleba.
They've been taking him off. I don't know. Something about him doesn't give midfield control at all.
Nah, he was chaos. And the chaos was hurting Brighton.
Yeah, he doesn't give midfield control at all. He's real chaos ball when he's in that midfield.
Yep.
But yeah. Good.
Yeah, if someone can take advantage of chaos, is Matheus Cunha.
If someone can take advantage of chaos, is actually the team that Man United have built. All the players are built for transition. It's funny when they always say they want to become a possession-based team when the whole squad is built for
Bruno
El Bomba. As the ball, they come, the ball, they go. That type of shit.
Nothing concerning Cunha, concerning control.
Nothing concerning Cunha. Mbuemu was hot. Mbuemu was on fire. Like, nothing concerning these guys with, as the ball, they come, let's be going. And it worked for them. Like, they are very direct. It's very exciting. But, as a person that watched Pochettino, first time at club, chaos ball is sweet, though. But the day chaos ball will come and do you something, you won't believe what you're watching. So there are trade-offs to it.
That's true.
It's been a good week for them.
But one thing I'll say, they ran a lot. Like, I don't think I've seen them put this much effort before. Like,
they play one game a week. They should be running. That's the minimum expected. Very, very. They play one game a week. That's the minimum. That should be the minimum. Everybody else doesn't.
I wonder how sustainability is, yeah. Like the way they are running back, running forward, even Sesko. Like, okay. They look like they want
to. Run back, run forward, then play on Wednesday. Run back, run forward, play on Saturday. You go see them. Which is what is killing, which is the painful thing about Chelsea's second goal, right? Not to bring it back to Chelsea, but I know that on a good day, this guy does not run through and then people, my defenders and my midfielders are not running all the way back or catching up to them. But when your best players are carrying nursing injuries and they are like, they are barely making it to 90 minutes, just know that they can't make it. And that was just really what it was on the day. Like, I even saw Reece James even got back and I was like, Reece James, you made it here after 90 minutes. Man, God be praised, man. You made it here. Reece James even came back, covered somebody. I was even impressed. I couldn't believe it. But that's just going to be Chelsea's problem, and I think it will be United's advantage. I think they will take somebody's spot. Somebody that's in Europe. Villa, Newcastle, they will take somebody's spot. I don't think they'll take Chelsea's spot.
Villa won today. I think they've been showing better form.
They've been showing signs, but I think in the long run, this one game a week will favor United a bit. And somebody might miss out.
Newcastle is one team.
It could be Chelsea. Let me get off my high horse.
Newcastle is one team that's their form has actually improved recently. Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle. Yeah, they won their game too.
They are slowly climbing back up.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, I think that should be it for the Premier League for now. Maybe if we get another more fans from a smaller club, we can, like Tottenham, we can start talking about their games a bit. I know they won.
I didn't. That's the one. That's one game I missed though.
I missed the game as well. But I know they won like 3-0. 3-0. Everton disappointed me. Well, it's fine. My boy Ndiaye did not score today.
Did you have him in FPL?
Yep. But yeah, I was hoping they would buy like Tottenham for me. But I guess not.
Tottenham are third. Jesus.
They're third?
Yeah, third.
Who's second? Bournemouth, right?
Bournemouth, Tottenham, Sunderland, City, United, Liverpool, Aston Villa, and Chelsea. I take it back. It might be Chelsea's fault. Apologies to Manchester United. Welcome back to the talk.
let's see how long it lasts. I still have them in top eight.
No, I still have them top eight for sure. I think they'll take somebody's spot in seventh or eighth.
That's my prediction for them. But we'll see. Anyway, La Liga, El Clasico, bro. My boy Lamine. Is Lamine looking a bit weird? I don't know.
I was happy with this result.
No, I know you were.
In terms of clubs that I hate, is Man U, Barcelona, Arsenal. Man U, Arsenal, Barcelona, you know. Those triumvirates of teams, I hate them personally.
Wow, so Arsenal is that high up?
Arsenal, like third or, you know.
Fair play to you for being reasonably objective.
I try to be, because of my inherent bias, I try to be objective as much as possible when I'm speaking on these things. So I try not to put it there when I speak. Now, I will say though, for this Barcelona game, I think I like the fact that Lamine was talking before the game. He single-handedly brought back the rivalry of El Clasico. Single-handedly, like for a while, not that they haven't been fighting between, but for a while it was getting a bit like, if El Clasico was going on and a high-profile Premier League match was going on, you might be watching the high-profile Premier League match, right? Mm-hmm. Not you, per se, because, you know, maybe you're actually football peers. But most people, a lot of people might be tempted to watch the Premier League game than El Clasico. But this thing that he's doing is bringing back the bite to the contest.
No, I love it.
I liked it. I like it.
I like that he asked like a little prick. Or, you know.
No, he should. He has the right to. If I popo you four times in a season, like in a row, of course I'm talking shit. Who are you? I beat you four times in a row last season. I can talk shit. Home, away, track ground, Mexico, Europe, Japan, anywhere. I'm beating you. Like, and that's what happened. That's what happened last season. They beat them all through clean sweep. However, he didn't play that well today, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's
looks the Carrera guy, and funny how he didn't play that well, but they weren't even really accounting for him. Like, they weren't. I wouldn't say he was marked out of the game.
He was double marked. I mean, he still had moments.
I don't think so. He was double marked by who? Like, who was the other mark?
No, every time he got the ball, two guys on him. I don't remember. I know Carrera.
That's on both sides, though. Rashford wasn't having one-on-ones left and right.
I also feel like they were not passing to Rashford as much as I would have liked.
I don't think Rashford takes... So, okay, let me give my overall break. I feel like I'm speaking in parts, so let me gather my thoughts. I think because of the comments he made, Lamine Yamal, right? It gave Madrid an extra like step. Don't like they even need anyone against Barcelona. They gave them an extra step on an extra level of aggression when they played in this game. The Carrera guy did a good job on him in terms of like sticking to him a lot. I don't think he beats the Carrera guy a max. Maybe I wasn't looking because I watched the whole game. Max once. There was a time he had him one-on-one, tried to go past him, guy stuck out a foot, blocked it in the box. Like, the guy did a phenomenal job on Lamine Yamal. That didn't stop Lamine from creating one or two good chances, because towards the end of the game, there was a true pass he gave Koundé that Koundé miscontrolled or could have headed it, or just basically anything better than what he did would have led to a goal. So I think that because of him, I think because of that thing he did, there was just an extra bite that Madrid players had. And Alonso, as a coach, has made these guys more serious about defending. Madrid can be passive about defending a lot of times, but I don't think that will fly under Alonso. He does not allow for them to be like to be too lax in defending. He's very, very serious about them being as compact as possible. Now, there's always space because Madrid players tend to go forward as much as possible. It's the team ethos or whatever. But I like the fact that he made them defend like he made them more compact than I had seen them under Ancelotti towards the end of his reign. That's what I, at least that's what I could tell from what they're doing. Mbappe is still very, very hot. He's still on form.
Yeah,
and he's timing these offside runs better than last season. I don't know if you remember last season where every time they tried to find him, that high line was catching him.
He had a few offsides today, Sha.
But for the goal, though, wasn't that better timing than last season?
Of course.
Yeah.
Could have had two more if he slowed down the run a bit.
Yeah. Like he's getting a bit better at timing those runs.
Yeah.
Bellingham was immense too as well. And I don't know every time I watch him versus Pedri, right? Like I guess Barcelona fans, they always rave about Pedri. I always see him physically dog walking Pedri. I always see it. Like I don't know if I'm the only one that sees it.
He's physically better than Pedri.
He's always dog walking him physically. I don't know, maybe he's not aesthetically as pleasing.
England versus Spain, though. I feel like Pedri more down.
Like, I mean, football is not for gym now, it's football. So
I feel like Pedri has had a lot of good season,
Pedri had the better of him.
Yes. Well, I think Bellingham is a unit. Bellingham physically dominated.
There was a foul that they gave. The foul was Bellingham put his hand or elbowed him. He did it. Pedri was on him like this, and the guy like shoved him away, and they gave the foul on Bellingham. Just like that, this guy is a tank. I will say though, the biggest talking point, which we shouldn't be talking about, is Vinny.
Wait, let me say something. I think Vinicius was electric in that game. He was not, I mean, he had better performance, but he was very good.
Like, he was very good. But it's a testament to that, to the fact that he was very good, but we're talking about his attitude.
Yeah, I don't know. It look, it reminds me of I need to see a game between Brazil and Nigeria. Osimhen versus Vinicius.
Oh, no, please. I beg. Let's not go there. Let's not bring Nigeria into this before I lose my shit. And the last medical painkiller that is in my system right now talking about Nigeria.
Nah, but yeah, Vinicius needs to get his temper.
I don't like that at all. This is a tight game that I have a question. I'm always very intrigued by Barcelona, right? Because although they lost this game, but you know, they still had possession. There were still very, very long periods of time they were controlling the ball, right? I'm so curious as to how Hansi Flick, I don't know if it's because of the high line, and I've not found an answer to it. In every team, right, almost every team in world football right now, or high level team, they have a very strong base, center midfield guy, right? Or a very like tough tackling central midfield guy. But Barcelona don't seem to have that. And I don't know how they consistently produce excellent results without that thing there. Like Chelsea, Caicedo, Arsenal, Partey or Zubimendi, Liverpool, Gravenberg, Rodri.
I think ours more like, I mean, Zubimendi is a pest, but Rice does a lot of...
And Rice, okay, see, Rice even does the muscle part. Like, but if you look at Barca, they will play... That midfield was Pedri, De Jong, and Fermin. And Fermin Funny enough, Fermin has such good goal-scoring instincts that towards the end of the game, he was the nine. Or the first nine.
They might not have, like, a...
Which is why I wonder how they... Because they have more possession, right? So you won't... They're not usually in those vulnerable positions because 90% of the time, they're usually with possession. But I'm always so curious as to how they keep going without a destroyer or a tough tackler or a, like...
That's what I like. That's why... Not even makes about Arsenal. That's what I like Zubimendi. I think that thing about always being in the right position. Like, I counted today, they had a couple of...
I can't put Zubimendi there because he has Rice. So that negates it.
But I'm just saying how he intercepts the ball quite often. Probably better.
You see the way you said that Zubimendi and he intercepts ball often and Rice. Whoever is Zubimendi for for Barca, there's no rights to that. That's okay, my. Okay.
But yeah, because Pedri.
Pedri presses you.
He presses you. You. Intensity.
Yeah, Pedri is actually even athletic too. I know it doesn't seem like it, but Pedri has a very, very large, vast.
Yeah, and Frankie De Jong is not.
It's probably De Jong, but like when you look at De Jong, is he really like?
And De Jong gets that people kind of like underrate him because of, you know, that Odegaard thing. Like he looks like a fine boy. So I feel like sometimes people kind of underestimate his physicality because that he's also like a runner. He's pretty hardworking.
He's very hardworking. I mean, I look at is it because of the high line or is it because all of them collectively press properly? Like it's beautiful. It's not like I'm not even using it as
it's a combination of all both of them. Like if you're pushing that high, chances are you're winning back the ball a lot more often, helping you sustain that position and pressure on the team.
Yeah, because when they played Newcastle, right? Yeah. Newcastle were confused because they are used to this Agiwale Gidibo football, like, you know, Bruno Guimaraes doing all these things, but they were like long periods of time, they were played off the park. Like, you were not touching these guys that are so diminutive, they are so small, they are not as strong as you. But, like, sharp is football, not for gym. Yeah. And every time I see it, I'm like, how are these guys measuring up? Like, you know, like Fermin presses to Pedri will pester you. That one, I will agree. Pedri will pester you. Now
they've been like that since Javi, Iniesta, Busquets. So
they had Busquets. You see what I'm saying?
Maybe De Jong is more of the Busquets these days.
Wow.
So
De Jong is the Busquets, which is so funny to me. Not that he's bad or anything, also, but the Busquets or being the De Jong is very press resistant.
Bro, he's the person that the reason why Ten Hag's Ajax was not as exposed as it should have been. From back in the days, which is why he deluded himself into thinking that he could do the same thing with Casemiro and Co.
Mm-hmm. It's because of De Jong.
But that high line is a problem. Honestly, I know people keep saying with Inigo Martinez that it would have been better, that he's the missing this thing. But I mean, they were as bad last season, just that people were not taking advantage of it enough. Because it's not like Inigo Martinez is Usain Bolt or anything. I don't know, but yeah.
I think I have to agree with them only because, and this is just biased towards like what I'm currently going through with Chelsea. A good part of what we are going through is like personnel, right? Achimpong is not grown enough he has the talent, but he's not there enough to be like the solution, right? And the substitutes or the backups to our starter are not good enough for the long term. So, like, there's this weird gray area. And I think that Barcelona are going through that with their team. Like, Kubasi is good, obviously has the talent, right? But he's not yet fully there. And Inigo Martinez was helping him to get there. And he had the quality to stand out on his own.
Yeah.
Now, football, right, is so interesting. Like, no matter how many tactical schemes and no matter how many, like, ideas the coach has, the football is for the players, by the players, for the players. Like, every coach worth his socks will always say, no matter how many ideas I have, they are not going to be as good as what Mbappe or Messi can think of on the pitch in the moment.
Yes, right? 100%.
Nobody can create better. I can't create better solutions than the guy that's holding the ball on the pitch,
mm-hmm.
which also speaks to the quality of the player that you have on the pitch. So I don't think Flick can change this highline thing. This is the bed and breakfast he has raised this team on, and it has gotten him success. They won everything domestically, so you can't even say it's that bad. I just think that come January, come summer, or what have you, they are going to, and this is hard for Barcelona because Mourinho today that club, but they are going to actually have to invest in Barcelona-level quality, whatever that means. Like, they are going to have to invest in quality that will be able to play that high line mm-hmm. to the highest degree. And that just has to happen.
They need to change the personnel, because the current personnel are not good enough to consistently, like,
they are not
push up, track back,
the replacements. Like, I remember the PSG game when Kubasi was tired. Like, if you have high level defenders, and this guy is 17, 18, or how old is he, like, high level quality defenders, he's the one that is supposed to even be coming on to be replacing the guys, but he starts, so I just think it's, they've been getting good deals everywhere in life, right? You locked out on Lamine Yamal. You have Rashford that is willing to come for cheap. And to be fair, Rashford is... I don't like... I feel like the game bypasses him too much at this level, right? He is contributing very, very well to Barcelona. He's the one that even came up with the assist for Fermin, right? But I feel like... I don't know whether he should take the game... Like,
they are
the game by the scruff of the neck more.
They are missing their captain. Let's also remember that Rashford probably is not a starter in this team.
He's not, but he's doing well enough to be currently, by GA numbers, by GA stats. He's doing well enough. Like, I mean, he practically produces like a goal or an assist every game.
He's doing well. Don't get me wrong, but if Rafinha is fit, he's not.
Yeah, of course, he's not. He's not starting.
But. He's done well enough. I agree with you in contributions. You can't even hate on him. I'm just saying, like, yeah, they lost his game today to Madrid. This might not mean that their season is actually done and dusted.
No, it's not.
Yeah, if they had their injuries come back, who knows? Things might.
They have Rafinha come back. They have Lewy come back.
Come back, yeah. Things might actually.
They should be all right. They will be dead. They'll be dead. I don't think there's too much to change based on this game. If I were to take anything from it.
They're not going to change that highline, like you rightly pointed out.
Yeah, they're not going to change it. Hopefully, their players come back from injury, their key players come back from injury. Long term, they have to do something about that
setup. What were they doing last season? Because I agree Inigo Martinez is a big loss, but last season, they were getting scored on a lot because of the highline. But what were they doing? They were outscoring the opponents. So now, missing Rafinha and Lewandowski. That's like a lot of goals you're missing.
Making the games closer. Yeah.
Yes. So that might be the only thing that they're missing, actually.
But what do you think about Madrid from a footballing tactical point of view? Like, so towards the end of the game, he took off Vini and it was Mbappe and
Bellingham.
Because he started in a diamond of Mbappe, Vini, Bellingham, Ada, Tremeni, and what's this guy? Camavinga. Then Valverde, Huijsen, Militao, Carreras, right? And then by the end of the game, he had it like Brahim, Bellingham, Mbappe, Rodrigo, I think Tchouaméni and Ceballos in the middle. What do you think? Like, do you think that this is a viable, sustainable formation for them moving forward? Because Alonso has basically been that three wingers thing, that Mbappe, Vini, Rodrigo thing, basically thrown it away. And he's now rotating as a two. Right? Yeah. No matter what he's doing, he's a two up top. Right? And most teams use a 4-4-2 as their pressing structure off the ball, regardless of how they start. Right? What do you think? Do you think that that's a sustainable way of them going forward, like as a team? Because he always has a two in off the ball nowadays. Like, that's what I've noticed from him.
Judging by this performance today, it looked good. I cannot lie. They looked overall better than Barcelona, and they deserve to win. I think the fact that you're getting the best out of your best player, Mbappe, I think what else could you ask for, really? Because he's also letting him even drift out to the left when he wants to as well. Vini had probably one of his best performances recently. And Bellingham, too, looks much better than he did against Atletico Madrid. Defensively, they looked much more solid than against Atletico Madrid as well. Mm-hmm. Also, Huijsen probably had one of his better performances. Because every time I've seen him, he looked nervous. Today, he looked, even though he had one crazy tackle.
He looked a bit nervous, too, today, once or twice.
You should have seen him against Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, I know.
He looked a wreck. But today, at least, he was actually... That time, he wasn't even trying to tackle. But today, he was at least trying. You know, even though he... Like some of the tackles went way awry a bit, but he had a better game. Also, Carreras. Pep doesn't rate Carreras, but I actually rate him.
I think both of you are right, because Carreras hasn't always looked like this.
Mm.
Yeah, he hasn't always had good games. Like, he hasn't been consistent throughout in terms of performances. He's had some, and some games I'm a bit like, you're not yet there yet.
Yeah, I mean, so, tactically, whatever Xavi did today.
No, today, of course, today was, yeah, today.
He actually worked, if I'm being honest. Mbappe.
But think about it.
Mbappe, who is the reason for Mbappe's success right now?
The reason funny enough, right? Two chances go Barcelona's way in this game, and it's a different thing we're talking about, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember when there was a clear to Fermin.
Ferran Torres got a very good chance.
So one or two of these things going in, and we might be having a different conversation. Granted, Madrid too may have also had, you know, the penalty, maybe if that had gone in.
I think both teams are flawed. I don't really have them winning the UCL, even though flawed teams can win the UCL. But they are not that. I think a good team on their day will catch out Madrid's defense. I don't think I agree with you in the sense that defense is actually that good.
Because I don't think so either. And I don't know if a Militao hoisting defense is going to win the Champions League. I'll be surprised if it does.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's one a bit on the decline based on lack of personnel, and one a bit on the up because of like rejigging their whole team. So I think if this game is in Nou Camp, the reverse would be the case. I think Madrid loses this game.
I agree with you that I think Barca didn't catch them out as much as I thought they would, but they still got some good chances.
Mm-hmm.
So just based on optics, it looks like their defense is improved, Madrid, from what I saw, I've been seeing the past couple of weeks. But the biggest credit I'll give Xavi. Now, I don't know if it's because of him or because maybe Vinny became more mature or Mbappe became more mature, but they don't get in each other's way anymore.
Yeah, that comes with time, though. That was always going to have to come with time. Like, you playing with the... Playing... That comes with time and understanding. That was just going to happen. I think it used to happen with... Used to happen with Enzo and Caicedo, where they were not on the same wavelength. I think it's happened with Manu, with Mbeumo and Ahmad and Cunha on the other side. I feel like those things just come after you play and you play and you play.
Chemistry will build naturally.
Yeah, somebody like Eze now, like, eventually, like, the guys behind him will know his mannerisms of how he likes to get the ball and move, and things will become, like, it's like Bruno Rashford, they don't look when they pass to Rashford, because as the ball is coming to them, the guy is already going. These things will happen. So I think maybe with time, like that was more of a time thing. Like, you like left, me, I like left. Let's share custody of this left wing. Yeah. So I think that was just more of a time thing. I do say, though, I don't like Rodrigo's. I don't like what Rodrigo is doing. Like, you are clearly not in the plans of this team, right?
If I was him, I would have gone to that Liverpool or Arsenal or City.
Yeah, like, you are not in the plans of this team, and you've reached the top level where there's no doubt about your quality. It's not like Alonso is going to just change his mind and say, you know what? For Alonso to change his mind on Mbappe or Vini, he has to make a seismic shift in Real Madrid culture. Are you betting that he's going to do that for you?
Yeah, I agree, man. Because honestly, he's won UCL. I don't know what else he's trying to achieve in Madrid, to be honest.
Yeah, what again? Like, this is not your father's club. Like, you won everything there is to win.
I thought
Vini was close to Ballon d'Or, so they will bet on his talent against yours. Mbappe's talent is undeniable, and he's a big money, or he came for free, but we know he's technically a big money signing, right? Are you going to bet against, and then Bellingham is right there too. It's also a big money signing that has done it for them. So, like, why are you trying to fit in as a sub? Like, you are doing, Brahim Diaz is playing more minutes than you, guy. Like, take
Ada Guler.
Like Ada Guler gave away the first goal. Like, he's playing before you, guy. Like,
sometimes Matt Santono starts more.
Matt Santono plays game. Like, I don't know what kind of CUCK behavior or cop behavior is this. Like, guy, I don't, your talent is undeniable. This is a World Cup year. You need to do something with Seleção, with the Brazilian national team. Guy, take a loan. Go somewhere. Like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, I don't know. Like, every time I see him, I'm just like, this guy is not serious, man.
I remember Sanchez when Neymar joined Barcelona. Like, okay, maybe the first, maybe next season. You know, Cano Sanchez played one season as a like coming off the bench for like Neymar and everything. The next season he went to Arsenal. So maybe, who knows, maybe Rodrigo, he needs this season to realize that, okay, yeah, I don't have a place in this team. And maybe next season he goes somewhere else.
Yeah, he needs to go somewhere else. He's not, this is not fair to his, he's not fair his to talent. His, it's not fair to his talent at all. Like, you can be doing this thing. You would have been at Arsenal right now.
Let that left wing, he takes
away. Let Martinelli no see me mount. Like,
no, Martinelli is a baller though, but no, I think he's a baller. But I'm pretty sure
Martinelli is a sub.
Rodrigo would be a great.
Martinelli player. Is a sub. Martinelli is does not start for Arsenal's strongest team. Martinelli is a sub. For all I understand, you guys love him, but let's call it what it is. Martinelli is not a starter, and when the player is not a starter, there's no, I'm not moving things around for him. If you cannot start for your club, you are not in the conversation.
Martinelli, I mean, if you give me Rodrigo, of course I'll start Rodrigo without Martinelli. But exactly. I can't.
I know y'all love him, but be honest, there's a reason why they are using him as a Champions League Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. Anyway, though, I feel like we've covered most of the important topics at least, and it was a fun convo. But yeah, that Opez rankings thing. See, maybe you can start.
What ranking did he do? That one that he said?
Yeah, so he wants to be doing like bi-weekly like rankings, so like best clubs in the world. I feel like we should do one for players. Maybe you can take that one.
Okay, I can do the players one. What was the ranking last week for clubs?
Oh, he did. I think he put Arsenal number one. I mean, maybe not surprising.
That's fair. That's fair. I wouldn't go Arsenal number one. I'm putting Arsenal number two.
He had surprisingly said, or maybe I'm being disrespectful. City, yeah, City has number two. I have to rewatch the episode, man, but I think Bayern number three.
I would rank Bayern as number one.
Yeah. If it's me, I'll put Bayern number one and Arsenal number two. And
I'll put Bayern number one. I'd put Arsenal number two. Yeah.
I had PSG very high, but on further reflection, I realized that they were not burning, they were not destroying teams in their own league. So I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll put them.
But no, but they take it. I think I'll have Bayern, PSG, Arsenal. I'd have Arsenal third. I wouldn't have Arsenal second.
That's fair. That's fair.
First of all, PSG play to the strength of their league. They rotate heavily, like they are playing kids, like they're adjusting for bigger tournaments, and it's unfair that they are able to do that in the French league. I used to love
Marcel aren't schmucks, to be honest, these days, man. Even though they've lost their UCL game, but both of those games seemed unfair to them. But they are pretty good.
They are. But they're not even Marcel isn't, are they not third or fourth?
Yeah, they're good outfits. Anybody that plays them would.
Oh, I think you've been watching enough Greenwood highlights.
I'll be honest, I have.
But yeah, Marseille is a good outfit. Last shout out I want to do is to McTominay.
Oh, yeah. I saw KDB pull his hamstring while I was playing penalty. Age is catching up to him.
I had an argument, not an argument, a discussion with my United friends, where he's like, he doesn't really want to give McTominay his props, right? I feel as though, like, there's not enough props given to that guy, right? And everybody wants to say, he couldn't do this. I think he was just misprofiled in United, playing as a six, right?
I mean, he was still scoring.
He was still scoring. And if you can't notice his knack for goals, like, man, I don't know what kind of coach you are. But watching him in Napoli, right? Watching him in Napoli is actually, it's very beautiful the positions he takes up. the person that does a lot of like the sitting work is like Lobotka and this guy who's very, very good, Zambuagisa.
Anguissa.
It would be interesting to see how Niger pans out if we get past Gabon and play maybe Cameroon if they beat Congo. But I like watching the positions that McTominay takes. Like, there's an intelligence to how he moves and how every pass he makes is very efficient. He doesn't waste the ball. Like, he's almost 30, Sha. Let me not make it look like he's a young player. But he's, if you watch him, you see an appreciation for, like, space, for, like, being in the right place. Even when they lost to PSV, right, they chopped beating. Mm-hmm. He was scoring set-piece goals. Like, I don't know. There's just something about it that just... There's just something about watching him. I'm like, this is actually, like, it's beautiful to see. We all love the...
He was getting the same kind of credit or praise that Mourinho is getting today. He was basically called a striker.
Yeah, but the thing about... The thing I don't like about those things is that they always... They use it as a way to downplay the intelligence of the player. Mourinho is a very, very... I actually like Mourinho. He's a very, very intelligent player. To me, right? He's not a starter, so I'm not going to bring him into conversations. But Mourinho is a very, very intelligent player. And I think that a lot of what he was doing was just downplayed. Like he just gets in the box and scores. Like, guy, I've had Nicolas Jackson that was getting in the box and wasn't scoring. Like, there's an art to doing it. There's an art to finding separation, being in the right place at the right time, like knowing when to jostle with the defender, like, or not jostle with him at all, just coming there and being a ghost and coming in at the right time. There's an art to it. And I hate when players are, they get downplayed as if like that's the only thing they do, because that's not the only thing McTominay does. That's not his only job. He pops up everywhere on the field. Other people, they are more rigid in where they play, like Anguissa and Lobotka for sure. But McTominay pops up everywhere in important places, and he's very, very efficient and tidy on the ball.
You can't be player of the year for just...
He's the MVP, and he just talked about, like, it's some easy thing to do. Like, the past MVPs, like, are either, like, strikers or, like, mesmerizing wingers like Kvaratskhelia. Like, this guy is doing this thing on a consistent basis at a very, very high level in the Champions League too. Let it not be like it's only Serie A. So that's where I just felt like I should give. I was watching him in Bad Belair, but then when you watch a lot of Napoli games, you're like, man, this is a very, 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 very neat, tidy, well-rounded player. And I just say I have to give him props for being the MVP and playing to the level of being an MVP. Well done.
Right now, Napoli are back as being probably favorites for the Serie A.
I do think they might not win though. They need a striker. they have injury problems, and De Bruyne going out with that might slow them down. I do think they will eventually drop points, unfortunately. And I thought we were even going to talk about Inter. Inter looking very flaky as well.
Inter are very flaky, even in the champs too. So, Serie A as a whole, because AC Milan was first and they were not playing particularly well either.
Yeah.
So
they're not too far off. They're only 1 point too, Seth.
Yeah. Honestly, none of them. The crazy thing about them is that, I guess, similar besides Arsenal, similar to the Prem, like everyone is kind of like having their own off days and on days.
Yeah, Juve are eighth.
I wouldn't be surprised if they just go in a small run and become first. Like, that's how crazy it is.
Which is why I understand when people are like, Serie A. They're not very, people are very like dismissive when it comes to Serie A.
Yeah, but they keep rotating winners. And this is what the Premier League used to hype itself all back in the days.
Until we start being ruled by dictators.
Exactly. So Pep showed up.
And that's why people are still holding on to City. They're holding on to City because of Pep. But yeah. I don't know if he can cook something again, man. The food is stale. I don't know if he can cook something again.
Anyway, though, Broski, it's been nice chatting. And you guys, make sure to follow us on all social media platforms and subscribe. By the way, yeah, we're actually growing somehow. I noticed we had like a good number. It doubled.
I feel like it's because we have been doing some very, very crazy things left and right, man.
Actually, that's true. That Senegalese post actually blew up. So I didn't expect that at all.
No, I feel like if you cover some other places that we don't usually cover, you'd be surprised whose ears it will get into.
That's true. You need to expand.
We need to expand.
All right, broski. Have a good one.
Well, it was great talking today, man. I'm going to go and take my next round of painkillers.
All right, man. Yeah, get well.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. We'll be right back.